Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have such an interesting show for you today. I can't wait to introduce these lovely young ladies who have joined us on the panel today, but you know it's way too early in the show for me to go ahead and introduce the guests. What are we doing right now? We know what we're doing, what we always do at the start of every show, and that is to go find someone to watch the show with us. I don't know who that is. Maybe grandma needs to watch the show, granddaddy, your husband, your son, whoever it is. Maybe it's the neighbor across the street watering his lawn. He needs this information that we're sharing with you today. So I invite you to go ahead and share the show, text someone, tweet someone, inbox someone, and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest who has an amazing story. She's an entrepreneur. She's an artist. She's amazing. And she helps other people get to where they're going. Miss Yamilka Rodriguez. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you so much.
I'm excited to have you here. I was reading a lot of your information, and you've been in this industry for some time.
I have been for a while. Yes. I started in corporate. So, you know, that's where it all began.
What made you decide to become an entrepreneur?
You know, I've always had this knack with people and connection. And when I left my corporate job, I decided to go on my own. And first I tried, you know, fashion, because I love fashion and that. But I thought last year I decided to go back to my core, which is branding and design.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you a serial entrepreneur? I know you said you started in corporate, but when you were younger, were you one of those people that were always doing some business, whether it was a lemonade stand or whatever it was? Were you always in business?
Yeah, I was always making something to sell something. So mm-hmm. I made jewelry, or I tried to do some tasks around the house and get paid. That mm-hmm. always didn't work out that well. But yes, I've always been very curious, not just about doing a business, but about making things. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about creativity, because when you say making things, you're someone who has design sessions, and design sessions are something that are very rare. To me, when I think of creatives, I think of someone who's alone by themselves trying to come up with new ideas, and not a design session where it's like, okay, let's facilitate this. Let's come out of this with some really great ideas.
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of people think that design or creativity is all about a product, but it can always be a service. And we have our own personalities, and we need to show that personality to the world. And that's why I love what I talk about is archetypes, and really understand people and really connect with people. And so when I design sessions, I teach design thinking. And what that is basically creative problem solving. So you're problem solving out of the box with different ideas, with different perspectives. And then you're reframing the question, because a lot of times, actually, we don't ask the right question, or we don't have the right framework or the right problem to solve for. So really understanding the problem is really number one. And then we do different exercises to really get to prototyping. And prototyping really helps us see what we're making. And prototyping doesn't mean you have to have like a physical thing, but you prototype an idea. Mm-hmm. So if it's a social media idea, you can prototype that. So you mm-hmm. look at it and you have people get input on the idea, because I think that's one of the most important things. We have these ideas in our head, and then we don't ask people about our ideas. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we probably don't get the right business out there, or don't have the right perspective.
I like that idea, but one of the things that I always talk about or think about is I built my first website in 1994. And back in 1994, people said that I was lazy because I wanted to work at home. I had my daughter. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't want to miss my kids' first words, first steps, or anything like that. And so I decided, and I knew the internet was the only way for me to work at home or to work and be a stay-at-home mom and have some income. So it wasn't about how much money I made. It was about the fact that I didn't leave the house. And in people's mindsets, if you don't go out the house or you don't work a 9-to-5 job, then you're just lazy, you know. So sometimes the reason I bring that up is sometimes it's difficult for us to go to other people with our ideas and our dreams and our passions, because the people who love us the most are the people who want to protect us from the world. And sometimes they can, you know, kill our dreams.
You know, and you're right in that sense. And I think you were so early, like you did this way before its time, right? And so you have a vision, you have this visionary thinking. And so what we try to do in even reframing, there's no wrong answers. There's no bad ideas, right? Every idea is a good idea. And everybody's creative, not just designers. Everybody is. So really bringing that out in people, and the perspective of your idea is not to kill your idea, but is to make it better. So when you get feedback from people, it's to either persevere like you did, like just make it happen, or it's about seeing it from somebody else's perspective and then reframing it.
I like that. That makes more sense. Now I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, because we were talking about our dreams and our visions and our passion. And sometimes we do things for ourselves, and we always have to do it for ourselves for a certain extent. But being a mother, I do a lot of what I do for my children as well. And our next guest is an author, an entrepreneur. She's changing the world, but she's also the mother of six. I want to go ahead and introduce Ms. Jazlyn O'Neill. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am good. How are you?
I am excited to actually see you and meet you. We've been talking, we've been chatting, we've been commenting, we've been posting, we've been sharing, and I want you to share your incredible story with the world. So please go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about what you have going on.
Okay, well, my name is Jazlyn O'Neill. As you mentioned, I am a mother of six, but I actually have eight in the house today. So when you're doing an interview, you have to find a quiet spot and hide somewhere. So I had to go and try to find a little piece of the house and hide to go ahead and conduct this today. I have recently just wrote a book. It's called How to Live Life After Death. And it tells my journey as a mother of six who is a widow, lost my husband in 2014 to a car accident. I didn't really understand how to, you know, do the everyday task of living life without feeling guilty or without feeling anger. So I had to learn how to reconfigure my thoughts and really learn that life is what you make it. And despite, you know, adversities, you still have to push on and live your life and, you know, try to make the best of sometimes a situation that's not always planned for. So
that is so beautiful. I my condolences. I feel the pain. I hear the pain in your voice. And as we get older, we start to lose a lot more people. And in the last year, I had two friends who, I have other friends who have lost their spouse, but two friends in particular who lost their spouse. One of my friends had a heart attack, went into the hospital, flatlined twice. While she was in the hospital, her husband died of a heart attack. And everybody was like, how did this happen? I think the stress from her being in the hospital killed him. And so now she has this tube in her chest for the rest of her life, and she's a widow. And then I have another friend, older lady the other day, whose mother passed away in May. And then her husband of 32 years passed away in September. So it's like so many people go through it and we don't know how to get back up. So the fact that you are saying, you know what, I have six kids. I went through this, but I can't just sit here and cry. I can't just sit here and feel sorry for myself. I have to get up and show other people that you can still live your life. So I believe that's powerful.
Thank you. I mean, one of the biggest things that people deal with when it comes to a loss, whether it's a financial loss, a relationship, a friendship, or even just with us dealing with COVID at the current moment, is that when you do devise a plan, the first thing that comes into mind is guilt. Should I do this? You feel guilty about wanting to start over in a new sense. You feel like if you're not tied to that pain, that you're not doing yourself or that person justice by representing the relationship or the loss that you had. Well, in fact, you're actually doing the opposite by holding on to the pain. You're not giving yourself the ability to not only heal, but to be able to live the beauty of this life and honor the memory of the loss or the person. And I know with our current time with, you know, like I said, COVID going on, a lot of people's experiencing losses from financial to their jobs, to friends and family members, loved ones, just not knowing how every day to day is going to go for them in their life and their family. And only thing that I can tell everyone is that everything is a season. Seasons pass, like we have spring, summer, winter, and fall. This is going to pass. And whatever the adversity in their life is, as long as they continue to press forward without really holding themselves back to heal properly, you'll press forward and you'll get past it. And that's what the book really shares. My first book, I'm sorry, like I said, I had to hide in a quiet place, and the quietest place was the garage.
It's okay. We can see you. We can hear you. That's all that matters. I think what you're doing is powerful. Now, when you just mentioned what you just said, I heard what you said, but this is what I want to say. I'm pretty sure there are people who are watching you who are going, okay, yeah, but you're strong. That's easy for you. It's easy for you to say that. I mean, because that's how people tend to feel, you know?
Well, you know, strength is not something that's developed overnight. No one, I mean, even if you're training to be someone in the fitness world, that doesn't happen overnight. There has been many a tears, many a days, many a times where I felt like, why me? What did I do wrong? I felt the anger. I went through all the stages of grief when it comes to just the anger, the questioning, the everything that you can think of. And my book is not just about the loss. It's about the rebuilding yourself after the loss. It's about learning how to have the strength to be bold in your choices, despite what anyone says, because everyone is going to walk with you in the beginning stages of the journey. But at the end, no one may even be there. And that's when you have to learn how to have the inner strength. So I can't sit here and tell anyone a magic formula on how long it takes, but what I can tell you is that it will get better. And I had to go through many trial and errors. I mean, I lost everything, including my husband when he passed, my house, my business, everything. And currently now, 6 years later, I have a beautiful home. I have 6 beautiful children, 4 businesses that I'm operating. I'm also in the music industry where I manage my son, who is an artist signed to a major record label. And this was all by the way of me just keeping on pushing through. I push. And that stands for pray until something happened. And that's what I did.
You are so beautiful. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And something tells me from what I've read about her, she is not someone who quits or gives up either. She is an athlete. She's an author. She's an inspiring trainer. And she is someone who not only pushes the limits, she changes rules. She is someone who has changed the NCAA rule that we're going to talk about, Ms. Bonnie Frankel. Good morning, Bonnie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Bonnie, do you quit? Are you a quitter, Bonnie?
No.
You don't look like a quitter. You don't look like a quitter to me.
No, I'm not a quitter. I mean, it's like, you know, I attempted suicide when I went through a divorce. Oh. I lived through that. And then it was full speed ahead. And I went back to school. And went back to college. I was a learning disability, but nobody knew that then. And then my whole life changed with kids and Tommy Smith. Tommy Smith saw me run. Tommy Smith, you know, the Black activist, 200-meter gold medalist, and he coached at Santa Monica College. And so he found my talent and said, you're going to be the next George Foreman of running. I said, I didn't say I'd do this forever because I'm an athlete. I've always been an athlete, a dancer. And so I saw what it did to me, where kids used to call me Bonster the Monster. And
that's horrible.
Oh, well, I was a monster. I came from the elite and then went to school, and I had an attitude. And kids really leveled me out. But finding the right exercise really changed my life. It helped my learning. It helped my personality. I was in better shape than I was, and I'm 76.
Oh, wow. You don't look 76.
I never look a lot, but I mean, I don't have that kind of time or the want, but I love what I do. So I still run, trained to qualify for the Olympic trials with John Carlos, which was Tommy's friend. Who put up his hand for Black Power as well. He won the bronze and at 60. And people would ask me, you want to know about the NCAA. I saw how much running did for me, I transferred from Santa Monica College and then went to Loyola Marymount University. And when I was going to run with the cross country team, they said my time clock ran out. And I said, what? Because I was in my 40s, late 40s. And so I decided to fight it, because it denied women a choice to go to a Division I college and not be able to compete. And so I took it out with the media. The media was really powerful. And then I worked the system. With Loyola, I didn't protest. I just worked the system with Loyola, the West Coast Conference, you know, and long and behold, I won it. But I won the issue, and not because I was right. I found a loophole in the law. I won the issue because of my life story. I was the oldest woman to compete in a Division I sport, but not in running, because running season was over. The swim coach saw me swim, and he said, would you swim for me? And I said, sure. So I jumped in the water, had to learn to flip turn within a month, and we were off and running. And then I coached. I coached Santa Monica College. No, I coached Santa Monica High. I coached head coach of Loyola Marymount University.
Wow, that's beautiful. I ran cross country in high school. And so I understand what it takes to run it. A lot of people don't, because they're used to running track. You know, we ran cross country in the hills of Griffith Park here in California. And I tell people, I think I talked about this on a show 2 days ago. I still live by the same things that our coach taught us then. He would always tell us, we would take the bus from our school. I went to Downtown Business Magnet High School, and we take the bus from the school to Griffith Park. And we get there, and he would always say the same speech every day. That's how I learned how to say the same speech every day. But he would say, you are not in competition with anyone else. The only person you're in competition with is yourself. But the bus leaves at 3. That's what he always tells us. The bus leaves at 3. So we had to get up there, get up that mountain, make things happen. We wasn't worried about anything else, but we didn't want to walk back to school. That was our focus. So I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, the beautiful Miss Joy Jones. She is the founder of DC Retro Jumpers, a double Dutch team that served as cultural ambassadors to Russia in 2018. And she has her books, Tambourine Moon, as well as her as a kids pick up the list by the American Booksellers Association. Good morning, Joy. How are you?
Hello, 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 hello. I might be in the wrong group of panelists. These are some phenomenal women here.
Before you go on, Joy, they say this to me all the time, and I tell them all the time, believe me, you are not. I don't know how it works, but somehow, some way, we're going to find a vein, because you are a phenomenal woman. So I just want to ask you, is Joy your real name?
Joy is my real name. Jones is my real name. That means that you hang around me, you'll have a Joy Jones. You'll make a habit of being feeling good.
You'll be jonesing for Joy. I just saw your smile, your energy, and the pink. And I'm like, I wonder if she just says Joy, because you are in truly a joy.
That's what my mama and daddy named me. Yes.
Yeah. So they planned your life for you.
I guess they did. I guess they did. And I've been having a lot of fun. The latest thing is I've written a book called Jayla Jumps In. Mm-hmm. It's a kid's novel, and it's about a girl who starts a double dutch team. Mm-hmm. And as you said in my introduction, I'm someone who started a double dutch team. And the way it started was quite by happenstance. You might think, since I write about double dutch, that I loved double dutch as a child. I liked double dutch. I actually enjoyed jumping single better. But what happened was, years ago, I was at work and we were having that eternal conversation that so many adult women have. You know, I want to lose weight. What can I do to lose weight? I'm too fat. I said, why don't we go outside and jump rope? At this time, I worked on Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, that's the main street of Washington, D.C. It's the street where the president lives, the White House, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a street with large, broad boulevards and big sidewalks. So there's plenty of space to get a rope going. So I said, let's jump double dutch on our lunch hour. And then everybody was like, oh no, I'm too old, or my back is bad, or my knees are weak, I can't do that. So I thought it was a good idea, even though I couldn't convince my coworkers to do it. So what I did is I used my imagination and I wrote a play about a group of women who decide to jump rope on their lunch hour. And in the play, a Washington Post reporter sees them, writes a story, and then they blow up. And so, when I produced the play and I was doing media for the show, someone said, you ought to actually do that. You ought to get some women together and jump rope. And I didn't think it was a good idea at that point, because I had tried to get some women to do it and they all said no. But I said, what the hell, I'll you know, send out a few emails, make a few phone calls, see what happens. And so a group of women came to the recreation center in my neighborhood and we started jumping rope. And next thing you know, they're enthusiastic about it. And we form a team and we call ourselves DC Retro Jumpers. And then people start calling and saying, we're having a health fair, would you do a demonstration? Or there's a street festival, would you be one of the acts? And so we started doing events, sometimes getting paid for these events. Eventually a few schools called and said, would you do an after school program? So it progressed over time. But also over time, I got tired of it, because sometimes I would show up at the recreation center and wait for everyone else to show up. Nobody would be there but me and maybe one other friend. So I said, you know what, maybe Double Dutch has run its course. Let me stop doing it. And then at one of our street festivals, a Washington Post reporter came. He wasn't there as a reporter on his job. He just happened to be in the neighborhood. And he sees us jumping rope, and we, as we always do, teach people on the spot how to jump double dutch. And so he jumped in the rope and loved it. He was so excited that he asked to do a story. And an arts impresario saw the story and invited us to be cultural ambassadors to Russia. Who knew?
Wow. I always say, when I say, or someone says, it just so happened, that's God. That's just that divine intervention that makes it happen. Now, my whole thing is, how did you prepare? Did you get in shape? Because like I said, I'm 44. At 44, I used to love double dutch. That as a kid, my sister and I, our little friends, we played double dutch. But at 44, if I were to go to try to double dutch, it wouldn't work.
It would work. Your body remembers how to do it, even though your mind is telling you, I'm too old. But your body knows how to do it. And after we coached you a little bit, you'd be jumping in the rope. And the thing I love most about double dutch is, when we do our demonstrations, you know, we have a long line wrapped around the block sometimes of people wanting to get their turn in the rope. And a lot of times the person is like, I used to jump, but I don't think I remember. Or, I'm a man. Is it okay for a man to jump rope? Or, I never even learned. Is it too late for me to learn at this advanced age? And we encourage them, we urge them, they do what we say, they jump in the rope, and then everybody's applauding, the cameras come out and people are taking pictures. People say, oh, I can't wait to show my kids that I did this, you know, because they want to show them the video. We put it on our Instagram account, and so the whole world gets to see you. And it's very rare in real life that anybody gives you that kind of applause or cheering. You know, it's such a feel-good, warm-hearted moment.
Okay, well, I'm coming to DC, and when I come to DC, I don't know when, it's sometime. I'm gonna come jump rope, so be ready. I'm gonna do some double dutch, and we're gonna film it, and we go. What'd you say?
In the meantime, you can read Jayla Jumps In and get the same feeling. It's double Dutch on the page. So.
Good answer. Good answer. I like that. Yamilka, what did you think about Double Dutch and Joy's story? Do you think she deserves to sit on this panel?
Oh my God. It reminded me of when I was jumping rope years ago, actually in California when I lived there. So it was so much fun. And now I want to do it again. Thank you for bringing that back.
Yay. Bonnie, how about you?
Oh, I think it's great. I haven't heard Double Dutch forever, and I see people jumping rope around my complex, and I think it's phenomenal because it's like a dance, and it's got a rhythm to it, and you're getting off your feet, you know, but not, you can go high, low. It's kind of like similar, it reminds me a little bit of people that like to jump on a trampoline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you can do so many things, because I was a gymnastic as well. I did mm-hmm. gymnastics, but I think it's wonderful. What a creative idea, and to get seniors, older people involved. Kids naturally do it.
Yes.
But to get those seniors is just genius.
Mm-hmm. Because seniors are always worrying about their knees. They be like, my knees bad.
They're worried about, they're so worried about, and I get it, catching the COVID that they've lost. You know, go outside, get some air, move your body, get a different attitude. You know, I wrote a book, which is Bonnie's Theory, and it's Finding the Right Exercise. And I did a lot of research. And a lot of this was with Western medicine and Eastern medicine. And it shows people what exercise using the four elements that they can try and do. I looked at the kids I coached and the older and the younger people I personally coached. And there were certain personality factors and emotional traits, the reactions to things that, and there were traits, the way they, what time they wanted to exercise, how many would stretch, didn't like to, the morning hours to post to the night hours. And sure enough, when I would coach Loyola, I would think to myself, this kid doesn't belong running. She got a scholarship. How did a coach not see that? So it worked. I mean, the kid finally gave up the scholarship. She went to swimming, which is what I saw, and cross-trained with running. But it's important, like with Double Dutch, people find the right exercise. And I look at Double Dutch as you could really cross-train with that beautifully as well. Mm. Not just making it your main activity. You could really use that as a cross-training factor to get it. Great oxygen. Great.
Oh, interesting. Bonnie, I've never heard that in my life. I love doing this show. This is why I do it, so I can learn information. I have never in my life heard exercise based on the element. I mean, I'm very into the metaphysical. They say it's the element for this. This element determines what you Correct. Should eat. This element, you know, everything. I've never heard exercise. Are you able to break it down into the elements and the exercise, what you recommend?
Yeah. And the distances that people will do. And it's got nothing. I do fire, air, earth, and water. Got nothing to do with astrology, even though I use Carl Jung and Hippocrates and different doctors or people that know something about this field of exercise, or what they've done medically, like Hippocrates did the four humors and based it on the four elements. Carl Jung used psychiatry and based it on astrology. And that's how he was called the father of astrology, but it has nothing to do with the day you were born or, you know, what sign are you. It's just-
I love that.
Oh, you would, my love. You're just beautiful. I love you.
Thank you. And you know, I created a methodology. I co-founded, it's Archetypes, and the 12 Archetypes, and it's based on Carl Jung. And I also studied Ayurveda for a long time, which talks about the four elements. But the most interesting piece to me is that, you know, understanding those different characters, and sometimes we don't have enough empathy to really understand somebody else. And I think it's all about really getting into different personalities. And I think everybody sometimes sees things, there's only one way to do it. So I love that.
No, there's never one way. If people try and do what their husband likes to do, or their friend likes to do, it really becomes your best friend when you move. And moving does so many things. I don't care if it's a sport or just an exercise. I know one lady who was a writer, and she would multitask because she'd get around the shops where she lived, put her ear sets in and listen to a podcast or so, and do all her errand shopping, and walked 5 miles, 6 miles.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, because that's one of the things that I learned. I'm a pacer. And I was on a call one day, and I was just not even paying attention. And all of a sudden, my Samsung notification went off, and it says, "You have met your daily walking goal. You've done 10,000 steps." And I'm like, I didn't even left the house. I'm just walking up and down, talking on the phone. So sometimes you don't know where you get that from. But what I'm interested in, Bonnie, is can we get an example of, like, for the element of fire? Is there a specific exercises that these people need to do? And how do you determine who's fire, earth, air, water?
Well, it's your personality makeup. Like for example, I'm a fire element, yeah, because I'll try anything. Give me a challenge. Like when I was competing with kids half my age and less, give me a challenge and I'll do it. So the fire element really can do almost anything. They'll challenge anything, but what they really love is that short impact, that short distance. Sprint. Go ahead.
Which one is the element for me? That's what I'm trying to find out. So I'm gonna tell you who I am. I'm the person who doesn't like to do anything. Okay. Like I decide, like one day I'll be like, I'm gonna go walk. I'm gonna walk every day. I'm walking distance from the beach. It takes me about 12 minutes to walk to the beach. I do it 30 days. It's like, I don't know. It's like a clock that goes off. I can get to 30 days on any exercise. I could join a gym. 30 days, I'll go. But after 30 days, I'm like, you know what? I need that mocha frappe. My Netflix is on and I'm done.
Yeah, but you have a schedule. I would almost think that you're an air element.
Okay.
Because they walk and like to do things as well while they walk, or they can just walk. They kind of like middle distance, which is not the sprinting kind. They're not sprinters. It's like they're morning people. Look at your show. I mean, look at the difference.
Okay, I'm definitely a hater, because whenever people come on, it's so funny. It's so funny. At 7:45 in the morning, all the West Coast people come on and just hate me. They're like, Sharifa, why are we up? I'm like, oh, you're the West Coast, huh? Because the East Coast people are like, hey, how you doing? I'm on my second cup of coffee. I'm like, okay.
That's the air element. But I see a lot of, you want your mocha frappuccino, but you're not lazy.
Thank you.
Can I jump in here for a minute?
Jump on in there, Joy.
Because I don't think you should call it a workout. Our slogan with the Double Dutch team is, not everybody likes to exercise, but everybody likes to play. And movement.
Ooh, but it is a play.
How we play.
Yeah.
Double Dutch is what kids did to play. And so when I reintroduce it to grown folks, it reignites that childhood feeling of playing, as opposed to, I have to show up at the gym. The coach says I have to run these laps or swim these laps. So, think of it as playing. Don't think of it as working out.
But
what I like with you, Joy, and your energy is that you just have a lot of fun. When you were talking about the Washington Post reporter who came in and he double-dutched, He did that not just because people were out there doing double dutch or doing exercise. He did that because you guys were having fun. You had a whole process that you set up with the videos and the, you know, encouraging people. And like you said, just the encouragement, the clapping when they're doing it. So it became an experience. That's one of the things, because I'm one of those people and I'm very humble, but people will tell me like, Sharifa, you always have an amazing turnout. Anything I do, there's always a great turnout. Like even for this show, I launched this show on the 30th of March. I get 5 guests a day because I make it an experience. You know, when people have an experience and they're like, oh, this is a good thing, then they want to be a part of it. If it's just exercise, like you were saying, Joy, or just double dutching, they would be like, oh, that's boring. Jaslyn, with 6 kids, 8 in the house today, how do you keep the kids exercising, playing, having fun, and not pulling your hair out? Because I'd be...
So my youngest, they are in gymnastics. I have 3 that are in basketball, 1 who's in post-grad in Pennsylvania that plays basketball. So an athletic family is really what my kids are. Me, on the other hand, I am not a morning person. I do not like to exercise because I'm so busy with doing everyday tasks. I feel like I reach my maximum point of exercise when it comes to all the things I do. When you have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, that's exercise in itself, with just the division of toys and breaking up fights and who wants what and who's having a meltdown over a sippy cup. So to to carve out time for exercise is something that I really haven't ever been able to manage. But my kids, on the other hand, they are super athletic. So I kind of think it keeps me in a fit of running up and down from the car keys to the grocery store, being a chauffeur and some other things for them. And I think that's where I kind of draw from my exercise. But as far as morning person, I can honestly say the West Coast morning side of me is not, it's not for me.
Don't be mad at me, Jasmine. Don't be mad. Don't hate me. Don't hate me, girl.
No. Between going to sleep at 4 o'clock and we have Zoom calls going on for school, this is every day. It's just, you know, I wish I had a little more pep like Joy. So when because Joy gives me life when I hear her talk. I'm like, okay, Jazz, put on the lipstick and throw on the shoes and try to go run up and down this mountain somewhere. But, you know, exercise is really divine for someone who is just trying to have an outlet as well. Because when I do try to get involved, it's more or less for an outlet experience to, you know, just relieve some of that everyday buildup that I got going on.
Yes, absolutely. I want to go over to Yamilka real quick. You talked about your archetype and you said that there were a set amount. Can you talk a little bit about those and how we can determine?
Yeah, so I use the archetypes to really help you with your brand. Mm-hmm. So archetypes can be used for many different things. As you can see, Bonnie uses it for exercising. I love that. But archetype, I use it for branding because it makes it easier for you to show up. Mm-hmm. And so what we say is, not only how do you show up within the 12 archetypes, for example, I'm a lover, so I'm very passionate and very indulgent, and I love beautiful things. And so that's how I show up. I also have magician, and magicians, their motto is where there's a will, there's a way. I make things happen, I don't care if it's hard. I just, you know, I persevere, and I see a lot of women here do as well. So we make it super simple for people to really stay on brand. And also the beautiful thing about it is that your opposite archetype, and I'm going to start a whole new marketing plan on LinkedIn next week around opposites, is your super fan. And so you ascend to that. You ascend to that super fan as well. So instead of, you know, a lot of people say, so what's your ideal target? I don't know. Who's your ideal client? And who's your avatar? This makes it super simple to know who it is, because it's your opposite. These are the people who love you, who are attracted to you. So go ahead.
Could you name the different archetypes?
Yeah. So we have, on the belonging axis, we have the caregiver, the girl next door, or the good guy. And we also have the lover. So those are the belonging. On the opposite, which is independence, we have the hero, we have the innocent, and we have the explorer. And then on the stability side, we have the sage, right? The ruler and the creator. And remember, we talked about creators aren't always the artists. They're also structured. So these are people who are very creative, but in a structured way. And then on the opposite of that, we have dynamic. And those, that's magician. We have outlaw. And we have the gesture, which I'm sure you have a lot of that, Joy. So
have a lot of? Let's get back to me. This is the round table talk show with Sharifa Hardy.
I have a test online that you have to go to.
I knew you were going to do that. No. I want you to guess.
I will guess on you, but there's only two questions when you do it. So it doesn't have 50,000 questions and try to figure it out and blah, blah, blah. But I think you are a magician.
Okay, I'm gonna take the test.
For some reason, I feel like you persevere and you have a vision and you know where you're going. The celebrity archetype is Oprah. So Oprah is definitely a magician. So if you feel kind of that connection, that I really feel that for you.
Okay, I'm gonna go take the two questions.
Me, my turn.
You, Jaslyn, you know, I think you're a hero.
I wanted to be a hero.
Because you're very independent and you're independent and you make things happen, but you also want to achieve something. Like achievement is important to you. So this is what I get from the small conversation that we've had.
I'm going to have to go ahead and find Eureka after this call.
Okay, because you know, now we got to do Bonnie. What's Bonnie?
So Bonnie, I think you have, I was going to say hero, but I think you're really a sage because you're very wise and you really know your stuff. Like you really go deep into your knowledge. You're not very superficial. So you really like to know things and understand things. And maybe that's why you've taught in so many universities and things like that. So I'm thinking you're more of a sage.
Enjoy.
Joy is definitely a gesture. I mean, look at her. She's so dynamic. She knows she talks and she wants things to be fun, experiential, and entertaining. And that's the gesture. Make work fun.
What do you think, Joy?
I'm a magician.
Ooh!
Well, we are a magician. Where there's a will, there's a way. Well, you're still on the dynamic side, right? You're still on that, you know, very dynamic area.
What you think, Bonnie?
I think that all of us are, I think she's pretty right about me. Definitely. I love the way she's wired. In answer to Joy about a workout and having fun, when you're doing the right exercise, you're having fun. I mean, I talk workout because being a world-class runner, that's what we refer to. But I love the way Joy talks about we're just having fun. But that's what when you're doing the right exercise, you're having fun or you wouldn't go back to it.
That's why I don't go back to it.
Cause I was going to say, that's why maybe I don't go back because I don't know which one is the right one for me.
Well, you know, I love Bonnie, when you said fire. I think of fire because I like small spurts. I don't like to exercise for an hour. That is way too long.
Oh,
but like 20 minutes is like, get crazy for 20 minutes. Yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah, you're very quick. You get it. And you want to move on. That's your you just want to try different things. And yes, I love that about you. And I love your symbolism because life is all about symbol. And I like the way you're very bright. you know, you're a leader. The fire element doesn't really want to take to, you know, they want to lead. They want to be the first to do something only because they want the adventure and the challenge, and they're geared that way. They're wired that way. And in my book, I have fun questions. They're not, I hate questions, but if people, they're fun questions about what they would do in a situation, but they're not, it's not a long questionnaire. All I know is that when you find your element, it'll give you different exercises that you can do. And not only that, it's not just the looking good, it's wires your brain, like you say, the depth of the sage. It wires you so that you are more open, changes your personality to a degree, because you are getting H2O in your system, even with this COVID. I mean, you've got to get the mask off somewhere.
Yes, that's the thing for me. Everybody's doing all this exercise, and I'm like, I can't even breathe in this mask.
No, you
know? So we have to change it. So Yamilka's fire. Apparently, I'm air. Okay, so what about Joy and Jasmine?
Joy, I would think, is fire. Because... Yeah. Because just that energy and that play and that spontaneity and the jumping rope. I mean, air ain't going to jump rope.
Air is not going to jump rope. No. I'm too cute to be doing that much.
That, I mean, you may not even think about it. It's not like something you're going to do.
You know, Double Dutch is not my favorite physical activity. My favorite is dancing and walking.
But it's the same. Dancing, when you think about dancing, like tap dancing in a way, I relate that with kind of like jumping rope, because you have to have like a rhythm and your feet are moving like that. Walking is everybody kind of can do. You know, it's so relaxing. It's so easy on the joints. It's so restful. It helps.
Meditative.
Yeah, very. And it helps your body eliminate your toxins. It's like, you know, if you go, you can walk into a bookstore and all of a sudden you're right. It's like a meditation.
Yes.
But some people, if I were to walk, as playing for exercise, I would get, I would like, I gotta run, you know?
So what about Jasmine over here? What about Jasmine over here?
Jasmine, I would think that she probably is earth.
And what is earth?
Earth is grounded. Gonna take care of her kids first. That's already, but she's got them in activities, which is very smart. They do all different playful sports or exercises, which I love that that they're not all doing basketball and, you know, the variety. And Earth are very wise. They think through, they're very grounded. They're easy to do water, and they're easy to do ground sport. And I always say, which in response to my friend that symbolizes an archetypes, I always think that when you get the opposite of the elements together, you will learn from each other. And I think that's very important. I used to do that when I trained the kids. I'd get those fire elements with the earth elements, or the water elements that we're trying to cross train for the ground. But I think it's really important to mix. We're all composed of elements. It's just the strongest element that you are made most of that you're going to do. But I think everybody's got to cross train. If you do a ground playful sport exercise, you're going to do a water and vice versa.
Because Bonnie, I love that, because I had a friend that would say, it's like making a recipe, right?
Correct.
Although there's more flour, you still have a little bit of, you know, sugar and all the other things. And I love that metaphor.
I think that's beautiful. I would definitely agree. I want to go over to Jasmine real quick. When you wrote your book, was there a moment, was there a day, was there something, you know, that changed where you said, you know what, let me share my story?
So this story here for me, when I wrote it, initially, I didn't want to put the book out at all. I didn't even want to share what I've been through. I have a nonprofit organization. It's called Living Life After Death. And what we do is we help families after the loss, sudden loss of a loved one, rebuild themselves. And we do an event twice a year, just for Christmas. We donate to a school in a kind of lower class area, a neighborhood, where we give every child gifts. And for Thanksgiving, we pass out turkeys. So when I was in line one day, passing out the turkeys, talking to one of the clients that needed it, I just started to share a little bit about what I've been through, because she was in tears saying, thank you so much for helping me. And when I started to explain to her, you know, just, you know, my journey and not to give up, and you can, you know, you can also, you know, get through what you're going through. She said, you know what, maybe you should consider speaking or writing something so that people can, you know, read what you've been through. And I told her, I said, you know, speaking for me on a bigger platform is not really my thing. I get jumbled up in my words, my thoughts. I have this perfect thing written out that I would say, plan for days, hours, weeks, months. And then as soon as it starts a time to deliver, it wouldn't work. So I said, well, the best way to do this, if I am going to decide to share, would be on paper, because that way I stick to what it is I was trying to get across. And you can always go back when you're reading a book. The first time you may not get it, but as you read it several different times, for me at least, I start to pull out different gems from the book that I read. So when I did decide to write this book, I figured, you know, it's for someone who's going to go back and look at the manuscript more than once to try to pull those jewels out, to give them the ability or the tools that they need at that present moment. Because, I mean, even when you're reading a book such as a J.K. Rowling, a Harry Potter book, the story gets better as you read it over and over and over. It's always a different effect for you, even when you watch your favorite movie. And a lot of times for me, it's just, you know, trying to put it in words was always the hardest thing for me. And really having the confidence to know that the story was going to help somebody. Because I said, well, everybody has a story. The lady who's lost her husband in the military, they have a story. Why is my story so important? And a friend of mine said, it's because it's your story. And that's why it's important. But you can find this book. I look better on the book.
You look beautiful, honey. You look wonderful.
On Amazon. Living Life as How to Live Life After Death. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes and Noble. Happy to say it's on eBay. And just, you know, we're having a book event coming up in Las Vegas where, when we are going to be just talking to young entrepreneurs who want to know how to get into business, because that's the biggest issue. It's like a secret. No one wants to tell you how to do it. They say, well, you have to do the steps, because, you know, you won't appreciate it if you don't look into it and do it yourself. And that is not true. I like to tell people, the easier, the better, because, you know, sometimes everyone doesn't have that time carved out to go and do that hardcore research. They do want a cheat sheet. So for me, it's really just trying to let entrepreneurs know that you don't have to always go the long route when looking into something. Grab a hold of the person, you know, that's done it once, twice, maybe three times, and pick their brain until you can't anymore.
Yes, that's what we do here. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. I pick all the experts' brains. Every day I learn something else. I have a good friend of mine, known her since I was a kid, Tashika Morgan. She just released her book in October. Grief of a Young Widow with Kids. I'll go ahead and make an introduction. Maybe the two of you can do some things, but she was a childhood sweetheart, met her husband in high school. They went through this whole journey. I think it was 2014, I believe it was. He had an asthma attack. She lost him. You know, so certain things that you just think somebody's going to be okay. Husband passed away. They have three beautiful children. She just launched her book and she's making it happen. So we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Joy.
Wonderful. Well, I'm inviting people to read Jayla Jumps In, especially if you have a kid. I'm sure they would enjoy it. I want you to buy the book, but I would also like to give my viewers a free gift today. If you go to my website, you can download my e-booklet, Not Everyone Likes to Exercise, But Everyone Likes to Play. You go to www.joyjonesonline, go to the freebies section, look for the e-booklet, Not Everyone Likes to Exercise, But Everyone Likes to Play. And you have to enter the code 248 hashtag 795. I can put it in the chat so you can get it, but it's 248 hashtag 795. And that's at joyjonesonline.com.
Yeah, so what I would recommend is when we finish the show, go to Facebook, the Roundtable Talk Show page. If you want to drop the code in the comments or drop a link to where they can pick up the book with the comments, that way they can utilize the code. Bonnie, what do you have for us?
God, I was lost in what she was saying with playing and exercise. You have a tremendous amount of great ladies.
Thank you.
It's overwhelming. I'm more interested. Okay. What would I tell people to take away? I think your health is your wealth. Mm. And it's a movement that people don't, that they ignore. When you're healthy, you're wealthy. And I would suggest picking up Bonnie's theory, finding the right exercise, because it, this story, of the different, of my story and the different elements of fast read book has wonderful quotes like Maya Angelou, Steve Carell, Minions. It's a great short read, and finding the right exercise, you will play and you will have a BFF. You will not only stay in shape physically, but mostly emotionally, mentally, and spiritually.
Amen. Yes, pull it all together. Jasmine, what do you have for us?
Gosh, I got stuck what Bonnie was saying just
now. So I don't know what's going to happen when I ask Jamilka, because we may still be on what Joy was saying.
Right.
Buy the book. That's what you want to do, just buy the book.
Whatever it is you're trying to accomplish in this world, whether it's writing a book, whether it's starting a business, whether it's just getting in shape like Joy, Bonnie, and everyone else is saying, do it. Nothing like now. I mean, I put off a lot of different things in my life to where I feel like had I just went ahead and went for it, then maybe I would have had a different outcome. So my thoughts of on ending everything is to just do it. Like Nike said, just do it.
Just do it. You ready, Jamilka?
That's a hero.
That's okay. A hero.
So I will say, where there's a will, there's a way. And if you want, I think it's important to understand who you are. So work on that. Work on who you are as a person. And then you will magnetically attract your ideal client. And if you want to know more about the archetypes, go to www.brandarchetype.co. I know people like .com, but I couldn't get it. So it's .co.
.co. Fantastic. I want to thank you ladies all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. We brought it together. We had a great time. We learned. We laughed. I know I definitely learned something. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you're not important, and it doesn't mean that we don't still need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show, visit our guests, follow them on social media, go to their websites, pick up your copy of How to Live Life After Death and all of the books here today from our authors. Support our authors, send them a message, follow them on social media. And when you reach out to them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference, which is December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at AskSharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.